There had been just north of $3,000 left when the auctioneer had taken his commission, and I made a fine hole in them with my purchases. I had two trunks full, which I ordered to be delivered to the levee, labelled to go aboard the Missouri that evening. And I bought one of the new Army Colt revolvers, just in case. As the afternoon wore away, I began to feel less bobbish. I went back to my mean little room and busied myself removing Spring's papers from my old coat and stitching them into the waistband of one of my new pairs of pants. After that, I sat and chewed my nails, while 7 o'clock went by and then 8. And outside, the rain pattered down in the dark. I was staring at the candle guttering on its stand, feeling the gnawing certainty that she'd come adrift, when a scratching at the window had me leaping out of my skin. I whipped up the sash, and she slipped over the sill. But my momentary delight was quickly snuffed when I saw the state she was in. She was plastered from head to foot with mud, her dress was reduced to a torn, sodden rag, and her eyes were wild, and she was panting like a spent dog. "They're after me," she sobbed, slithering down against the wall. There was blood oozing through the mud from a cut on her foot. "They spotted me slipping out of the pit, and like a fool I ran. Oh, I should have waited. Quick, let's go now at once, before they come." She might be an experienced runner, but she wasn't up to Flash's touch. "Steady and listen," says I. "How far behind are they?"
I don't know. They lost me when I doubled back."
She lay back against the wall, exhausted. "How long since you last heard them?"
"5 minutes. But they have dogs. Trackers here."
"Not on a night like this, they won't." "Up," says I, and hauled her to her feet. "Now listen, Cassie. We can't run until you're clean and dressed. We'd never get aboard the boat. Haste won't serve. When Mr. and Mrs. Montague step out to the levee, they'll go nice and sedate." As I talked, I was already sponging her with the wet cloths I had ready. "Now, rest easy while I get you shipshape." I went on toweling her, cleansing away the filth, whispering urgently all the while. We would make it, I told her. The boat was waiting. We were rotten with money. If we kept calm and went ahead without flinching, we were bound to win free. I was trying to convince myself as much as her, as I sponged and dried frantically, with one ear cocked for sounds of approaching pursuit. It was tremendous work, because even when I had got her clean, she just lay there, quite played out, moaning softly to herself. I was almost in despair as I tried to haul clothes onto her. She'd just lay back in the chair, her golden body heaving. God, she was a picture. But I'd no time to enjoy it. "Come on, come on, you can't give up, Cassie. Not a staunch girl like you." And finally, I shook her and hissed in her ear. "All you have to do is stand up and walk, confound it, walk! And you'll never have to call anyone Massa again." That was what did it, I think. For she opened her eyes and made a feeble effort to help. We got her into the long coat and adjusted the broad-brimmed bonnet and veil, and I jammed the shoes on her feet and gloved her and stuck the gamp in her hand. And when she managed to stand, she looked as much like the outward picture of a lady as made no odds. No one would know there wasn't a stitch on her underneath. There was a feverish 10 minutes while a nigger boy went out and found a trap for us, and we waited crouched on the boardwalk against the wall, with the rain slashing down. But there was no sign of her pursuers, and presently, there in the glare of the wharf lamps, was the good ship Missouri, with her twin whistles blasting the warning of departure. I lauded it with the purser at the gangplank, explaining that I would take Madame directly to our stateroom, as she was much fatigued, and he yes-sirred me and roared up boys to escort us. When I laid her on the bed, she was either in a swoon or asleep from exhaustion and fright. I was so tuckered myself that I just collapsed in a chair and didn't stir until the wheel began to pound, and I knew we'd done it. Cassie didn't stir for 3 hours, and then she could hardly believe where she was. Not until I had ordered up a meal and a bottle of bubbly did she understand properly that we'd got away, and then she broke down and cried, while I comforted her and told her what a damn fine spunky wench she was. I got some drink into her and forced her to eat, and at last she calmed. And when I saw her hand go up and push her hair back, I knew she was in command of herself again. When they can think of their appearance, They're over the worst. Sure enough, she went to the mirror, pulling the coat round herself, and then she turned to me and said,
God bless you.